friends and colleagues, and welcome to Dermasphere, the podcast by dermatologists, for dermatologists, and for the dermatologically curious. I am here with some friends because this is a bonus episode. Some months ago, Dermasphere collaborated with a company called Level X, which produces, among other things, a product called Top Derm. Let me tell you two things that I love. Board games and blueberry pie. Level X doesn't really help with that. Two other things that I love are dermatology and video games. And that's where Level X comes in, because they made a dermatology game, Top Derm, that you, in fact, can download on your mobile device right now. I'll wait for a second. And then you can use it to get better at dermatology. So since our missions are so aligned, both Dermasphere and the folks at Level X want you to be a better dermatologist through the power of technology for free, that we had a great time working together. And in fact, we are working together again. So this is perhaps the first meeting of the Dermatology Hero League. There are a number of different question packs that you can take on the Top Derm game, and some of them are themed after dermatology heroes, and Michelle and I are new introductees to the league.
Inductees. Which I just made up. Inductees. We're inducted into the league.
So we've got a whole panel of heroes today. So first of all, in the red cape, it's Dr. Peter Leo.
Hey, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us again, Dr. Leo. Do you want to just say hi and introduce yourself?
Well, thanks everybody for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'm Peter Leo. I'm a dermatologist in Chicago. I focus a lot on atopic dermatitis, and I am excited to be a derm hero to help push our field forward and do hopefully really fun, interesting, and engaging question packs for Level X and Top Derm.
And in the white jacket, it's Dr. Shraddha Desai. Dr. Desai, thanks for being here. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Shraddha Desai. I'm also from Chicago, and my dermatology practice is mostly cosmetic. So a little bit different than atopic dermatitis, but no less important, maybe. I'm just kidding. But I'm really excited to be here. It's my first time with you guys, and I'm also very new to being a derm hero, so excited to share that with everybody.
And on my left in the marvelous tiara, it's Dr. Michelle Tarbox. Michelle, the listeners probably know who you are, but you want to say hi?
Hello, this is Dr. Michelle Tarbox. I'm an associate professor of dermatology and dermatopathology at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in beautiful sunny Lubbock, Texas. I am a dermatopathologist, a self-proclaimed dermoscopy nerd, and a hair geek. So I love all of those things.
And in the gold armor, it's me, Dr. Luke Johnson. I am a pediatric dermatologist and general dermatologist with the University of Utah. And our moderator today, our overseer, if you will, is Dr. Eric Gantworker.
I love I still get the hero music, even though I'm not a hero.
Very important part of the team.
So, Dr. Gantworker, you are, I forget your exact title with Level X, but it's impressive.
I try to make it as impressive as possible since I'm not a dermatologist. I'm actually the vice president and medical director, but I'm also a academic pediatric otolaryngologist who used to be in Chicago and is now in academic practice in New York.
And you were one of our main guests in our last collaboration together. And here we are, a group of perhaps heroes, and we'd love to discuss some of the questions and things that we wrote that are now available. I guess, Michelle, yours and I, our questions aren't yet available, but the Dr. Leo Hero Pack and the Dr. Desai Hero Pack are out there right now, and ours will be out momentarily. And it might be a good idea for us to talk about sort of our philosophy about which questions we chose and why we're excited about them and those kinds of things. So, Dr. Leo, do you want to get started?
I'd love to. So I am very interested in atopic dermatitis, and I feel lucky that there is just so much excitement happening in the field of atopic derm, and both, of course, in the pediatric side and the adult side. So I really tried to focus my energies on some medical dermatology, especially around inflammatory conditions like AD. I think that it's one of those power packs that I hope will keep expanding and we'll keep updating it, because I feel like right now we're in an incredible phase of every month we're getting a new medicine. So there's a lot to learn, a lot that I'm trying to learn. And it's one of those awesome things where when I'm formulating questions and looking at the papers, I'm learning while I'm creating these questions to hopefully help other people learn. It's the best of all the worlds.
Eric, I'm going to sort of pass moderator duties over to you, since I don't want to cross-pollinate myself too much.
You're totally fine. You don't want to ask yourself the questions. It's only a problem if you talk back.
Jarvis.
So, exactly. So Dr. Desai, I wanted to know, we'll step back for a second. What was it like when you were asked to be a derm hero, a top derm hero? How did that feel?
It felt really good, but also kind of frightening, because there's so many questions you can ask. And, you know, I'm one of those people who's always in my head. I'm like, is this important? It is to me, but is it going to be important for everybody else? And does everybody already know this? Or is, you know, it was more like, exciting and nerve-wracking at the same time. I don't want to make things too easy, but I want them to not be too challenging either.
I was going to ask, did you all get, you know, sort of a sense like, I want to, you know, really give something hard so that, like, you know, people are really going to have to know their stuff to be able to get your challenge pack? Or was it like, no, I'll throw up some softballs, or was it mix? How about Luke and Michelle? We'll start with you.
I think the key lays in variety. So I know that I like to be challenged, but I also like to feel like I'm making progress. And so I think that if all of the questions are uniform level of really difficult, you can get a little discouraged. Whereas sometimes I think having, when we're like, okay, I've got this one, and then you go into the next question with a little bit of confidence, maybe you put your second hard one after one that you're a little bit softer of a ball on. That's kind of my own philosophy.
You sound like a game designer. You need a job?
I just teach residents. I guess because I'm teaching a bunch of young people who play video games all the time, but picked up on their ethos. So
when you guys were making your challenge pack for the Dermosphere challenge pack, did you try to like compete against each other about questions? Like, oh, I'm going to make a really hard question that Luke's not going to be able to answer, or vice versa?
I did not. Michelle is so smart. I'm sure she could answer all of my questions, no problem. Also, they're all from the podcast, and she usually looks like she's paying attention, so hopefully she'd be able to figure those out. Though, Dr. Desai, I was terrible at your particular challenge pack. Terrible.
Not doing a whole lot of Botox on the kids.
Yeah, so, exactly.
So I know Dr. Leo, was saying he went to the literature. Where did you sort of derive your inspiration for the questions? Dr. Desai, we'll start with you.
I definitely went to the literature as well. My challenge pack was more about cosmetic considerations, but specifically in skin of color, because I don't think we always think that there's a difference, that, you know, we're taught how to do certain things and we do the same thing for every face. And there are actually a lot of differences with ethnicities and what works better in what location. So I went straight to the literature, and a lot of it was from overseas, actually. So like Indian dermatology journal, European as well, but that's where I got my inspiration from.
This probably explains why I was so terrible at it, because I don't do any cosmetics in my practice, so I won't feel too bad.
There's not a lot of pediatric cosmetics, are you telling me that?
Well, if there are, they're not coming to me. Maybe other people see them. Pre-beauty pageant season.
How about you, Dr. Tarbox? Did you derive inspiration from sort of the way that you teach, or were there other inspirations?
You know, kind of from all over the place. I like to pick up different ways to ask questions from different areas of expertise, different experiences that I've had. I kind of chose to focus on trichoscopy and hair loss because it's a big area of passion for me. Mm-hmm. And now that we actually have understanding of how to use the medications a little bit better and more safely and more effectively, it's actually kind of almost satisfying to treat hair loss now. It used to be like running your head up against a wall because all you had was like really strong anti-androgens and topical minoxidil. And maybe some nutritional supplementation, but we have all these new tools. We have PRP, we have low-dose oral minoxidil, we understand how to use that now. We have low light level laser therapies. We have microneedling. There's like all sorts of new developments in our understanding of how to treat some of these hair loss problems. And so I really want people to be able to recognize what kind of hair loss they're dealing with so they can get that patient on the road to recovery, because the faster you treat, the more likely you are to save some of that hair.
I know some dermatologists don't really like treating patients with hair loss, but I like patients who come in with hair loss because I feel like with a good history and a good physical exam, you can get to the diagnosis pretty much all the time. And then as you say, Michelle, now that there are a lot more treatments available, we know what to do even for stuff that used to be really hard, like androgenetic alopecia, which is still hard, but not quite as hard.
I'm excited to play your pack because I think I need a refresher for sure.
Well, we'll talk about the AAD and the Dermosphere pack in a second. But you know, you brought up Dr. Desai about the skin of color and sort of one of the gaps in traditional derm education. Dr. Leo, you know, in your world in atopic dermatitis, is there a lot of traditional resources, and sort of what was your thought about bringing some of that skin of color type disease into your challenge pack and with LevelX in general?
It's so important, you know, in part because we know that patients with more richly pigmented skin actually have a higher incidence of atopic dermatitis. So it would actually go against, you know, taking the best care of that disease to underrepresent that group. And we really have to make sure we do that. On the other hand, we know that, for example, in clinical trials, patients with skin of color are often underrepresented. So there is this tension going on. But I feel pretty excited that I think there is a lot of awareness and the overwhelming momentum towards, hey, we have to fix this, we have to address this. And I'm really excited to see all of this really positive energy pushing forward on this endeavor. So I hope some of that's reflected in my questions. And one of the beautiful things, you know, from the earliest days that I've been with LevelX now for a few years, but when we first started talking, it was this idea that, you know, some of the atlases don't have good representation, but with artists, we can do anything we want. So it's so cool to be able to put together things that might not be available out there and really contribute in a way that might not exist before.
Yeah, we talked about this on our last bonus episode, that one of the really cool things about Top Derm is that the artists over at LevelX can create Kodachromes that people like Dr. Leo then vet and make sure that they look like some real disease on some real person's skin, so that they can create stuff even if there's not good photographs of it for one reason or another. They can also make us look like superheroes, so they're cool for a couple different reasons. It's interesting, Dr. Leo, I ran into this just the other day in clinic. I like that dermatologists who are interested in medical education are really taking the forward step here to correct this issue with skin of color, because it's all over the place. It's not just our textbooks. I had a phototype 5 patient the other day, a 12-year-old girl with nummular dermatitis, and she was like, I don't know, what is it? Can you show me a picture? And so we Googled eczema or atopic dermatitis, and it was just a bunch of white skin. And she sort of nodded knowingly, but I was like, yeah, of course, it's just a bunch of white skin now. Sorry about our society. But it's moving in the right direction, I like to think.
I think so too. And you're right. You know, one of the sites I use is a site that's on the web that's based in New Zealand, which, you know, has a different demographic than the States. And so I think, you know, sometimes it really doesn't have the kind of skin spectrum that we want. I mean, we're lucky in the States. We really have the United Colors of Benetton, right? We have everything. So I kind of feel like that's one of the torches of light we bring to the world, is we're going to be able to try to show everyone and represent things broadly. And not every place in the world can do that, you know? So I think that's something not only can we do, but now I think we all agree we really should be doing it more.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really funny, Luke, that you sort of took a personal affront about our society based on that. this was heard loud and clear here at LevelX. And what we really wanted to do was to be able to even create that ability that you guys were talking about, to create those images to fill that gap. Because when we were trying to resource images for the game, we ran into the same problem. We're like, well, how is anybody going to learn this if it doesn't actually exist? So I think I'd like to segue that into what was it like working with the Top Derm team, with the LevelX team? And when you're writing questions, it's different from like writing boards questions to write for a video game. So I'm interested to hear about your experiences. We'll start with Dr. Tarbox.
So I write lots and lots of questions because I'm part of sort of board preparation course that's longitudinal at the AAD meeting called Conquer the Boards. And so I write questions all the time for residents, and also I teach residents, so I'm basically asking them questions all the time. But when you're thinking about a visual platform like a video game, especially the way y'all have set up LevelX, it has such fluidity to it that it, the writing of the questions is actually a little bit more easy and intuitive, because I can give a question bank set of images, which is a large part of our specialty. So much of what we do as dermatologists is build our visual library so that the computer that is our brain can look at a patient, cross-reference to like 1,000 other patients that we've seen with this condition and be like, I know what this is, right? So I love the building of that visual library. And it was actually relatively intuitive in my personal experience after having played the game a little bit and knowing what the opportunities for engagement are. So it was really actually very exciting for me to do this. They also, I can't say enough nice things about the team at LevelX. They were so facilitating and kind and helpful, helping me understand how this question sets were going to work with each other and how they would show up on the screen. So I cannot say enough nice things about, you know, your team is wonderful, Eric.
We really appreciate it. How about you, Dr. Desai? How was that experience for you?
I would say it's been the same. I've been with helping out LevelX for a couple of years now. And when I first started, it wasn't developing too many questions. It was just sort of vetting them, but also helping a lot with these renders, these artistic renders. And I was always amazed at how much effort and time that they put into each of these renders. When I would say, you know, that scale needs to be a little bit more powdery, and I couldn't figure out a better way to say it, they figured it out. They really did. And, you know, I'm like, it needs to be a baby pink, not a soft pink or a mauve. Like, they would do that. And like Dr. Tarbox said, you know, they really do help facilitate the questions too. And just, it's been a lovely experience.
Awesome. And Dr. Johnson, what would you say was the most surprising thing in working with the LevelX team and working on a video game?
The nicest thing, I guess I don't know if it's surprising or not because I already played the game, is that the questions are in such different potential formats than just multiple choice. So it's really nice, especially if you're used to doing multiple choice questions for the past 70 years, that there's other stuff out there that kind of stretches your brains and your brain in different ways. So for example, in Dermosphere, we've discussed a number of articles about whether or not you should image certain lesions, like in a child, if they're worth getting an MRI or something on. And we did enough of those that I figure we could make a series of questions that's basically, should we image this? And then it's like a yes or no. And that's quite different than a multiple choice question, which might say, here's the clinical scenario, which of the following is the next best step? When sometimes in practice, you're just like, man, do I image this or not? Rather than, I mean, you're not really thinking about all the other options that are sometimes there in a multiple choice situation.
Absolutely. Dr. Leo, you were the first top derm superhero. So we're going to talk to you about what it was like to create your alter ego and your character for the top derm superhero pack.
So frankly, you know, it was a little bit embarrassing and there was a little bit of pressure to it. I do not feel like a derm superhero most days. Most days I feel like I'm barely scraping by, but you know, the old adage, fake it till you make it, so we can fake it with the best of them. And I was glad to be able to do that. I thought it was fun. And it was so neat, like getting a chance to talk to the artists about how I wanted to represent it and how we wanted it to look. And I thought it was kind of fun. I wanted my glasses still on because I usually am wearing my glasses, and you know, my androgenetic alopecia is real, and that is one of my superpowers, I suppose. So that has to be well, you know, well characterized as well. So it was really fun, and I just enjoyed so much the opportunity, and it was really an honor to be able to lead the torch, lead the way for these amazing new packs that I think a lot of people will enjoy. And I love that we're exploring all of these new angles. It gives a different prism into thinking about these concepts and diseases, and puts a little bit of a personal touch. And I think that's kind of fun too. We kind of have some more general things, which is the real main portion of Top Derm, but to have some really hand-picked and curated questions and packs, I think makes it something very unique and special to dermatology as a whole.
Awesome. Dr. Desai, what was that experience like for you creating your Top Derm superhero alter ego?
It was is really cool. My brother is a lead animator. And so since I was little, I was like, I need you to like put me in one of your games. And he's just like, yeah, okay, whatever. And you know, he did do that for me for like my birthday at some point, but it was really nice to finally have like me in a superhero costume. And I've always liked Rogue from X-Men. I don't know if anybody knows who that is, but that's always been my person. So that's who I'm supposed to be. Yeah, thank you. So that's where I got that from. And like Dr. Leo said, it was a little embarrassing because I'm like, I don't really feel like that superhero, but I'm going to go with it.
Don't you wish like in every single dermatology publication you could have a derm superhero alter ego just like published by Dr. Michelle Tarbox? And you know, I actually funny enough, I don't know what the Dermosphere superhero alter ego looks like. Do you guys know?
We have a preview. Hold on, let me like I will paste it into the chat. I'll have to get it up here, but I was so excited to see the, you know, what that would look like. And I was so flattered to see how they had portrayed us. Cause my goodness, they do a wonderful job. The characters actually really do, I think, look like us. They're identifiable mm-hmm. as us, but they are.
Especially our physiques.
Yeah, exactly. I have an 18 inch waist.
Looks
sure.
like I need more muscles there. Yeah. Right there. Bigger bicep, a little bit.
You know, but of course they were generous in their kindness towards our superhero physiques, but I thought it was impressive that you could tell who each character was supposed to be. I was like, you know, that's kind of a mark of a quality artist if they can really make the thing look like the person that they're supposed to, because it's, you know, it's easy to draw a super, well, it's not easy, but it might be more straightforward to draw a superhero that kind of just has the same color hair and stuff. But I really think like facial expression wise and things that they made them look like us, which was really fun. Mm-hmm.
So awesome. So, you know, we're going to go from the creating side to the playing side. So obviously dermatology being a very visual type specialty, what do you think about learning through the images through a video game as opposed to learning through traditional mechanisms? And, you know, obviously you are on the backside creating the content, but what do you think about the potential for dermatologists to learn through a platform like this?
Well, the thing is, they used to say that it took 10 years to become a good dermatologist. And I think the reason that they used to say that was because you just had to see that much over and over and over again before you really had the visual library that you need to make that instantaneous diagnosis. But as dermatologists practicing in this modern era, we're very lucky because we have access to a wealth of digital images that we can learn from, so long as they're presented in a way that has fidelity, meaning that the thing really is the thing it's labeled as, and the pictures are good quality. If you think back to how people used to have to learn dermatology, like the L'Hôpital Saint-Louis in Paris, where they have plaster molds of like Alibert's patient with mycosis fungoides, right? And they would have artists that would take a mold of a patient's face and then hand paint it with the patient there. So they would have a realistic representation for people to learn from, because that was the only way that image could be disseminated in any way. So we've come from that to having at our fingertips a digital library. But I think the intuitive way of gameplay, that it makes you kind of want to keep going because you want to win. That's a normal human thing. And then the way you can kind of put the photographs into the platform make it very powerful.
Well, all I took away from that discussion was that I'm okay that I feel incompetent because I just have another 3 years before I finally hit the 10-year mark.
I got two more to go.
There's plenty of content for you, Luke, on Top Derm for to play through.
Though it is cool how this stuff works with our brains. Just the other day, I got a consult from the ED and the resident brought up the picture and she was like, oh man, that's a terrible looking diaper rash. You know, maybe it's scalded skin or cellulitis or something. And I was like, you know what that looks like? Is this like laxative induced diaper dermatitis thing that I remember seeing once in a lecture, and like I had saved the lecture, I think it was from residency, Michelle, on my mm-hmm. Google Drive, and I pulled it up and I was like, it looks just like this. And it turns out the kid had gotten into a bottle of laxatives. So it was very satisfying. And I just wanted the whole world to know how cool I am. Also, it's interesting that our brains work that way. I mean, there's probably a reason we picked dermatology, because we like visual stuff and our brains somehow are stickier for it. So the more of these things that we can see, I think the better we'll be. And then the game platform makes us want to see more rather than just like scrolling through a bunch of images on Google Images especially since those are all white people.
Can I just make a quick comment about that? Because that's such a great story. Ted Kapchuk is a character. He's written a wonderful book called The Web That Has No Weaver. And it's a book about traditional Chinese medicine and their approach and the general philosophy. And when I was a medical student, he gave us a lecture. And he said, there really are only two specialties in the Western canon of medicine that actually think and work like traditional Chinese medicine in terms of looking at patterns and systems as opposed to thinking pathophysiologically, right? And it's like cardiology, for example, it's very pathophysiology. But the two fields, and he said, one of them does it very well, one of them doesn't do it very well. It's dermatology and psychiatry. And he said, dermatology does it well. Exactly that. You didn't know necessarily the pathomechanism of that offhand. You weren't thinking about that. You saw that pattern. You put it together and made the gestalt diagnosis. You could go to school for 1,000 years and never be able to do that unless you had heard of that case, right? You wouldn't have thought about it until you saw it, but you saw it and you had a way to store that knowledge. And I think that is so cool about dermatology. And he wasn't meaning to be disparaging towards psychiatry, but I think his point was that it doesn't work as well. It's much more complex and they have their DSM and they're trying to fit things in, but it's not as clean. But we really do work that way. So I think that's a beautiful story and a great illustration.
Dr. Desai, your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I say this every time I talk about just dermatology in general. We're visual learners. That's what we are. That's why we do what we do. And I can't tell you how boring it is to go flipping through a medical journal and all I do is see numbers and charts and graphs and there's no color. And there's just no photos. And that's kind of how I decide how much I look at something, how many photos there are, because I need that. That's how I'm stimulated and that's how I learn. And then I don't know, I'm one of those weirdos who always loved Kodachromes as a resident and I still look at them. So I agree with everything everyone's saying, just not so eloquently.
We totally all live through that, I'm sure. So I want to do just a quick dive into what would you like to see next in Top Derm or some kind of dermatology video game. What's on your short list of, man, you would love to see this in a video game?
It would be awesome, and I don't know if the technology is there, to do some kind of actual procedural thing where I'm moving my hands, injecting, cutting, something like that, practicing different suturing techniques. I probably need some kind of futuristic gloves or something that don't exist yet, but that would be pretty cool.
The Ready Player One gloves do exist. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, that's okay. I just wanted to follow on that comment. One of the first things I had seen when I came to see Level X was their game PoMX and CardioX. And in that, you can actually like intubate somebody and you turn the whole like structure around so you can see a 3D render of the lungs. And I was like, this would be so great for dermatology and some of our procedures. So I agree wholeheartedly. That would be awesome to see.
Awesome. Dr. Leo, Dr. Tarbox, your thoughts?
One thing I think that video game platforms might be really well adapted to show, and something that I think is a really difficult concept when people are trying to learn it, is the move, and it's hard for me because this is not my wheelhouse, is the movement of tissue when you're doing a complex repair, like a rhomboid or a bilobed or an advancement flap, and sort of like seeing how the tissue is supposed to move, what's supposed to end up where. I think that video game technology does have the ability to kind of demonstrate that in a visual way that's really going to be more easy to understand than looking at the figures in a textbook. Or even, you know, sometimes we try cutting up yoga mats and moving things around, trying to figure these out. You know, there's lots of different, somebody needs to come up with like a really nice skin simulant that is not crazy expensive for training programs, because it's hard. That's a hard thing to learn. And you don't want them to be uncomfortable with it when they have a hole in a live person's face, you know? So I think that kind of technology would be really helpful for teaching that movement and sort of the 3D spatial awareness of how we reconstruct a face when we have to take it apart sometimes.
I like that
Dr.
a lot.
Leo,
I was going to say that I love the idea of being able to do more of a patient journey too. That's something that's really hard to do on a test question or in a lecture, but to be able to sort of go along with a patient as they have different phases of their disease and responses to different treatments. And I really do feel like this would be an incredibly important thing because even as a resident, right, you go to those clinics, but you sometimes never see that patient back. You start them on stuff and then you're already rotated off in 2 months when they come back. So you don't really get your school of hard knocks till you're an attending in your own clinic. And then that patient comes back. And that's when you learn things like, I couldn't use that medicine. It was too expensive, or it burned and stung. I didn't call you, but I haven't used it in 2 months. And you're like, oh my goodness. So to learn these little tricks and tips takes that time. And that's one thing that's hard to do outside, but I think we really can do it within the context of top derm.
I love the idea of a patient journey too, because seeing the consequences of your decisions is a really important part of learning how to be a dermatologist. And I actually think, has anybody done that ACLS thing where you have to like go through the code and sometimes you can kill the patient? Like, so yes. That you do the thing and then they're like, you waited too long or you didn't intubate them, whatever. And oh no, you killed them. But like, it'd be really interesting if there was a video game kind of approximation of a dermatologic patient that could go through several visits. So the patient comes in and has a diffuse itchy rash and you go, okay, well, it's probably eczema and I give you some medicine for it, but maybe you didn't do a complete exam. So you didn't figure out it was mycosis fasciitis. And then they come back the next time and they have lymphadenopathy and you have another opportunity to figure it out, but maybe you miss it again and you're like, okay, they're infected, give them antibiotics. And then they come back again and they have a tumor or something. But like, that would be really cool. And that would actually also kind of allow people to see that sort of series of events in a person's journey without having that actually have any human cost, which is a nice thing.
I think secretly you are a video game designer. I don't know if you know this, but literally the way we define video games is by presenting people with interesting decisions, allowing them to make that decision, give them feedback, and then live with the result of that feedback, and then eventually be able to choose again. So that's literally how we develop games. And I think that's really funny. That's exactly how you think.
Sounds so, like parenting too.
Exactly. That's don't touch that hot thing. Yes. Well, I can't thank you guys enough. You know, we are Level X is going to be at AAD. We're going to have our own top derm booth. You can follow us on social media at Level EX. We're on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And check us out at AAD to find out how you may win your own one-of-a-kind poster of your derm hero alter ego, hand-drawn and colored by our Level X studio artists, and an invitation to guest star on the most popular dermatology podcast, Dermosphere.
Yeah. And thanks to all of you at the in the Dermatology Hero League for joining us. Thanks, of course, to our listeners for hanging out with us today. And thanks, as always, to our institutions. Thanks to the University of Utah for supporting the podcast. Thanks to Texas Tech for lending us Michelle. Thanks to Level X and to where you guys all work for lending us you guys as well.
Chicago.
You can find Chicago. Yes. Thanks to the city of Chicago.
The whole city. We'll write the mayor.
And thanks to medical students Ryan Carlisle and Morgan Dykman, who are members of Team Dermosphere and keep our social media accounts running along. You can also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you would like to find more Dermosphere stuff, you can find us on our website, dermospherepodcast.com, where you can find all of our archives as well as links to all the original articles that we discuss. And of course, you can find Michelle and I's Dermosphere Hero Pack on Top Derm by the time AAD kicks off. And you can see if you can answer our challenge. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us today, guys. And we'll see you next time for our regularly scheduled stuff.